Okay, I guess I can start. So, hello everybody. I'm Thibaut Raffaillac. I'm a postdoc in Montpellier. And it's really a pleasure and an honor to be here. This is my first time as a speaker in FOSDEM, so it's pretty cool. So this talk will be about H.264. It's a library that I've been developing for about 10 years, and that was experimental initially and was like a tool project, like a toy project to try different programming techniques, like unusual stuff. And then I've been working on towards a stable release since 2020. At the moment, it supports only Intel architectures from SSE3 onwards. And at the moment, it supports the Progressive High and MVC profiles, which is Blu-ray 3D. Yay! So first, a few benchmarks. At the time, there was a measure, like last year, in November, someone measured the performance. It's currently faster than all of the state-of-the-art. It's about 10% faster. And the most important thing is that it's three times lighter in both code size and binary size. On average, it's 10% faster. It's actually faster for smaller resolutions like 480p. And the speed being very unpredictable, I usually focus on code simplicity and number of instructions, as Anton would say, and I would very agree on that, on elegance of the code. It helps speed as a side effect, not the core effect. But the biggest advantage has been when adding new features like MVC, because when the core is simple, basically adding new stuff is really like a breeze. That's less code to patch, less potential side effects, and easier remembering of the big picture when you come back to the project, because I'm not working full-time on this project. It's just a side project. First of all, just a little question. Who has ever developed an encoder or a decoder, video or audio? Just to see. Okay, quite many. Good. This talk will be quite technical. It's for you guys, or folks. Now it's time just to open the box and see which of the techniques I think have been the most impactful in simplifying the code and the architecture. First, a bit of context. H.264 AVC segments and images in macro blocks called macro blocks of 16 by 16 pixels, which you get from the byte stream in raster scan, so that's on the top left. Then each macro block is further segmented into 4-4 or 8-8 blocks in zigzag order. And when you have your code base, the code base basically is in like five or so parts. You first parse symbols from the byte stream, and then would compute for each macro block, compute a prediction based on either neighboring pixels or pixels from previous frames as intra and inter prediction, and then you would add the residuals, like the rest, the difference, to compute to make the full picture with the IDCT, and in the end going to deblocking, which is just a post filter that blurs the image along the edges of blocks. Okay, now for the meat. First technique. The first technique is very simple and almost of a troll thing. It's just put all of your headers into a single header file. Personally, I've always been very annoyed at tiny header files when trying to understand a project structure. You have to open a lot of them just to get the big picture, to know what is calling what and so on and so on. And out of this anger, I just put everything into a single file, which is about 6K, not that much. That contains all of the structure type defs, the inline functions, the functions that are defined in each C file, and the CMD type defs and functions, which I will discuss later. This has a good impact actually on code size, and it helps diving back into the project after a long time, because I'm telling you, I still remind that, I'm not a pro. It's a side project. So far, so good. The second technique is about the architecture of the codec itself. The overall architecture is designed like a hardware decoder, in that this is a graph of code blocks that are activated one after another. And then, after expressing this graph, I express it in C, not the other way around. So I'm not thinking in functions in C, I'm thinking in code blocks, make a graph out of it, and then express it in C. So in C, it makes the nodes, the code blocks are functions, obviously. But then passing execution between code blocks becomes tail calls. And everything is done so that the tail calls are converted into jump instructions. Inlining is disabled so that each block is present only once in the binary, which helps reduce the binary size. And also, thinking in code blocks instead of input-output functions makes less use of parameters, because you're not thinking into what my function is going to take as parameters and return. It's just you're thinking, I'm going to pass execution to that function. But that function takes its input from the context structure. So that improves the readability overall. Next one, tree branching. That one's a technical. In AVC, the intra-frame prediction propagates neighboring pixels in a given direction. So in dotted, we have the neighboring pixels, and in a full line, we have the block that we are trying to predict. For each direction, the code will follow the same pattern. First, we load the pixels into registers, CPU registers. Then we would probably fix the colors that we fetched, particularly if the pixels belong to a block that was unavailable, that is in a different slice, or that is out of the bounds of the picture. If we do that, then we basically just propagate the pixels from the left to the pixels that are unavailable. Then we would compute the actual colors, so doing the math in the CPU. And finally, store the values to memory. That is a typical process that is executed for each direction in the intra mode. So AVC has 9 directional modes. So basically, you get your neighboring pixels, and you have 9 possible directions from which you have to propagate the colors. In the decoder, usually, it looks like this. It looks like a branching on the top, and each of the directional modes is one function. So technically, that's how it's implemented. It's usually 9 functions, and branching towards these functions through an array of function pointers. But there are 2 things we can improve here. The first one is the fixed tests. The fixed tests are present inside some of the functions, not all of them. But we can see that they operate on the same conditions, most of them. They do the same tests. So we can merge them upstream. And the second thing is the storage code is basically the same. Not all the time, but most of the time is the same. So we can merge it. So when we do that, it looks like this. Looks like a tree. The storage is on the bottom, and then you have the compute and the loading, which has a fix done with it. And you have only one branching. So it looks like a tree. And in practice, what you do is you branch once, one conditional branch, to the leaves, then go down with unconditional branches down to the storage operation. I told you this is very technical. In C, the branching is done with a switch. The branching inside the tree is done with goto's, and branching out of the trunk is done with breaking out of the switch. I tried implementing that with functions, so doing like all of the compute in different functions, but compilers get crazy at that. It's messy, so it's really the simplest is just to use switch, go to, and break. The practical impact. In AVC, you have 3 intra modes, intra-4-4, intra-8-8, and intra-16-16. Intra-4-4 has 14 leaves out of 9 directional modes, so the impact is pretty okay. But intra-8-8 has 32 leaves out of 9 directional modes. So that makes a good impact. Actually, in the decoder, the intra-8-8 benefits the most from this. Still, this technique is very general and may be applied to you in your code if you manage to represent things as a tree, as a downward tree. Okay, fourth technique. In H.264, all of the context data resides in a single structure that is passed to every function. That is a classical technique, I would say, in many decoders, that you have one structure that is the mother of all structures that stores everything. It's the context structure. In SU64, this structure, the pointer to this structure, is stored in a register. It's just mapped into a register with GCC that allows it. That's very dumb. The code actually looks like this. If we have GCC, we assign one register, we reserve a register to that pointer. And we patch all of the function calls so that GCC doesn't pass this pointer to functions, and Clang or other compilers will pass this pointer to functions. Easy, right? In practice, the binary size is reduced by 5% with GCC, and there is a minor speed up, and it actually helps on my builds GCC be faster than Clang. Yay. GCC9. After that, I think for some weird reason, after GCC9, the performance actually drops with later versions of GCC. So far, so good. Fifth technique. So I'll try perhaps going slightly fast on these because they are very hard to understand if you're not into AVC, but still. In AVC, every block has neighbors. And when you predict the color of the values of a block, you basically look for the neighbors, the values of the neighbors. And what the spec contains a lot is conditions. Basically, when I ask the value of a block, of a neighbor, I'm asking first, is my neighbor available? That is, does it belong to out of the picture? Is it out of the picture? Or is it in a different slice? Or does it exist? So if it's available, then I can fetch the value. But if it's not available, I fetch a default value. And the second test is the neighbor coded as the same mode as me, inter or intra? If not, default value. If so, good value. So one technique is just to allocate fake blocks in memory that will contain the default data. So basically, your picture will be surrounded by unavailable blocks which contain default values. And the second technique is that all of the blocks that you decode will contain the default values for the other modes that would be decoded. So for example, if I have a macro block that is coded as intra, it will still have motion vectors that would be decoded for inter. So it will behave like an intra and an inter macro block. As you would guess, this makes the code consume more memory a bit, but it makes the code a lot simpler. And I mean it really a lot simpler. This is actually a very important technique, but it's hard to achieve. Because you have to look at the spec and spot opportunities where the spec allows you to do that. So it consumes about 25% more memory than FFmpeg in practice. And that will be possible in the future to reduce it to 5% more than FFmpeg only. Sixth technique. Here is what it looks in memory. So we have the picture in a strong line. And in yellow, you have the blocks that are actually, the macro blocks that are actually stored in memory, with the neighboring blocks stored on the top left. And as you can see on the right, you have no blocks because the memory circles around. So basically, when you look on the top right, you're actually looking in memory to the top left, to the left. Yeah, that's a trick. This is still about accessing neighboring values. So in H.264, we have a problem when accessing neighbors of sub-blocks. So in a macro block, blocks are stored in arrays. And when you want to access the neighbor of any block, any sub-block, its neighbors may be in the same macro block or in a different macro block. That's what we see with B. So B is stored in the same macro block, fine, but A is stored in a different macro block. So in a codec development, typically what you would do is copy all of this in a buffer, copy the values from the neighboring macro blocks in the same buffer, so that you have everything packed in the same thing. What I do is different. I use pre-computed memory offset. So that's a nasty C technique. Basically, when you have your value in memory, you know where your neighbor is going to be in memory. You know it's there. It's in the macro block. The offset is basically constant in memory. I know it. So, but the problem is that it belongs to a different structure. So what I do is just I compute the offset with offset off in C, and I loop to the memory at that position. It's non-standard C, so you didn't hear anything. Seventh technique. I have nine. These are the last three. I promise the eight and nine are pretty better. So this one is about inter-prediction. In AVC, for inter-frame prediction, each macro block will be first segmented into rectangles, sub-rectangles, that each will receive a different motion vector. And the problem is that there are many possible shapes, so there are many possible ways to just cut a macro block. So there is not a single number of motion vectors that you will fetch. Traditionally, this incurs many tests in the decoder. For example, if I have a 2x2 block, then I will fetch one motion vector. If I have two rectangles, then I will fetch two motion vectors, and so on and so on. That's a lot of tests. That's many tests. The thing is, we want to merge all of these tests together into one. That's possible. To do so, we assign a bit mask to that shape. So we convert the shape to a bit mask, where every rectangle will contain one set bit and the rest as zeros. Then we convert that into an integer. And note that on the left, we have nine rectangles, or squares plus rectangles. And on the right, we have nine set bits. So we know that we are going to have to fetch nine motion vectors out of the byte stream. To do so, we loop on set bits. That's a classical technique. We do count leading zeros on the bit mask to get the first set bit. Then we clear it with the last operation that clears the last set bit. This has a good impact on code size because it merges all of the tests into one loop, and it has a minor impact on speed by reducing the number of conditional branches, so less pressure on the branch predictor and so on and so on. The general pattern, if you are interested in reproducing that, is to convert your macro block type into a bit mask, then iterating on the bit mask. And in the decoder, it's used to parse the reference indices, the motion vectors, and the residual coefficients. Okay. Using vector extensions. So, in H.264, SIMD are used everywhere. And by everywhere, I mean everywhere, in the whole of the code base. It's not separated into decoding and parsing. The SIMDs are used even in the parsing. And this is thanks to the use of GCC vector extensions. So I use GCC vector extensions. And to be clear, I use no hand-coded assembly in the decoder. It's all C. It helps actually reduce the register pressure in scalar register, because every time you have some scalar code, if you have an opportunity to vectorize it, you just reduce the pressure in the scalar register. So anything that you can do with this SIMD, it's just a win, just a big win. So to do so in code, first you define your vector types. So this is standard GCC extensions. Then to define vector-capable arrays in your context structure, I use union. It went through a lot of trial and error, and this form is the only one which doesn't generate random stack spills by the compilers, both GCC and Clang. So this is, to me, the most stable one to use. And the last thing is that I shorten all of the Intel intrinsics so that, two reasons, to make the code more readable, because the Intel intrinsics are amazing to read, and to help the future ports to other architectures, ARM, and RISC-V, whatever. Four things to care about when using vector extensions. First is don't use built-ins. They are a bit unreliable, and they may generate big code although you don't always know. So to be sure, if you want to use a specific instruction, don't rely on built-ins to generate that. Just use that specific instruction. Then don't use vector sizes that are not supported by the native host. Compilers get crazy at that. Don't index a vector by a variable, obviously, because then the compilers will just push down on stack and then index the stack. And don't use automatic vectorization, as this is a very theoretical tool, but it's not reliable enough in practice. OK, still got some juice. Last one. So this is a very important, a fun technique, actually. I will take here the example of the deblocking filter in AVC. So as a reminder, in AVC, the deblocking filter is a post filter that blurs all of the edges in that order, 1, 2, 3, 4, then 5, 6, 7, 8. It's conditional blurring, but for the sake of this presentation, let's assume we deblock all of the edges. In yellow, these are the reads. We read pixels. And in orange, we read and we write the pixels. The problem we have is that to filter all of the edges in one continuous operation, we would need to store all of the pixels, so all of the values. As a reminder, one pixel is one byte. It's a Luma value. We would need to store all of the macro block values into SIMD registers. In yellow, that needs about 22 hardware registers, although we have only 16. This is physically impossible. So what we traditionally do is that we work one edge at a time, loading the matrix from memory, transposing it, filtering it, then storing it back. And we proceed edge after edge until we're done. If we count the reads and the writes, each vertical edge is 16 reads, 16 writes, and 50 shuffles for the transpose operations, back and forth. Each horizontal edge is much easier. We do 6 reads, 4 writes. And in the total, it makes 88 reads, 80 writes, and 200 shuffles. Can we do better? Of course. Now, imagine that you have an infinite number of registers, as in C, but you get a penalty the more registers you use. What we would do is we would load the left matrix, filter edges 1 and 2, and then write the left pixels that we won't need anymore. Then we would load the right half of the matrix, filter edges 3 and 4, and at this point we have the entire macro block values in registers or in live variables. And some might be spilled on stack, but that's not my business. That's the compiler. Then we would transpose the whole thing. So the whole matrix, we transpose it. We load the top missing parts. We filter edge 5 and proceed down with edges, storing the values as we complete. So ideally, if we count all the reads and all the writes, it makes 35 reads, 34 writes, and 163 shuffles. So that's a net win. But, of course, there is a but. Ideally, if I would code this by hand, it makes 22 spills on stack. And actually, with Clang, it makes 40 spills. And 40 spills means about 40 writes and about 50 to 60 reads. And it's less on later architectures where you have 32 hardware registers. So that's somehow a win, but I'm not quite sure. It's like, meh. The good thing is that this register saturating technique is easy to design and implement in C, especially with regards to reordering instructions, because spilling is very sensitive to that. It has a good impact on code and binary size and a minor impact on speed. It's used for deblocking and interprediction for the 6-step filters, which I'm really happy with. And last but not least, in general, using C instead of assembly for the SIMD code allowed me to improve the filtering code, the core code, by about 20% shorter. especially thanks to eliminating redundant operations used in macros in assembly, and reasoning with more compact code. So it helps you get the big picture, the bigger picture, and really be more ambitious in how you design code. With this in mind, I would encourage you to consider switching to assembly. C for SIMD code. In my own experience, I've always been able to find important improvement over assembly code, at the expense of register pressure, of course, in literally every part of the decoder, be it inter, intra, deblocking, and not IDCT, because IDCT is just perfect, but Hadamard transforms. In these cases, the use of C has made the code less overwhelming and allows you to go the extra mile and optimize further. With this, I would like to thank you for your attention. You can see the code there, and I will take any question. And last note, kudos and last round of applause, please, for Olivier, who is here and who agreed to open source this work at the very beginning. So open sourcing for free. Are there any questions? Yes.
Just out of interest, the speed basically benchmarks, whether single-threaded or multi-threaded?
Single-threaded, all of them. So the question was the benchmarks, were they single-threaded or multi-threaded? And so the benchmark conditions were all single-threaded for all of the decoders.
Okay, thank you.
Then that means last question? Oh, c'est fini, okay. Thank you for your attention.